You know, Christ says his burden is light. There's one big difference between the yoke of Christ and the burden of Christ and that of any other yoke that you can find. And here I'll read it again. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what? And my burden is what? All right? Would you like to hear what Christ had to say about another yoke in his time? Well, if we go a little further back in the book of Matthew, we find that Christ gives a little sermon on the church of his day. 23rd chapter, beginning with the first verse, "Then spake Jesus unto the multitude and his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind," what? "Heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." But what was the purpose of their life? "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost seats or rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi." Now, friends, this is a description of another yoke. And it is what kind of a yoke? What? It's a yoke of bondage, of heavy burdens. All other yokes, friends, except the yoke of Christ, is a yoke of bondage, of heavy burdens, and these are the yokes that we are called to break in the book of Isaiah, in the 58th chapter. Now, this was a political yoke that they had foisted on the people, or was it a church yoke? They were sitting where? Not on the throne of King David, but in Moses' seat. Now, friends, this is something that I puzzled and puzzled and puzzled over. Because in my reading, I came to an interesting page. I ought to give you a lot of background on this, but we don't have the time. And page 80 and top of 81 of Testimonies to Ministers, we have an address by Ellen G. White. And you know, friends, sometimes I think we shouldn't use her name. I think we ought to say we have an address of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To the Adventist Church. Because that's what she says we do in Volume 5. She says, if you slight the testimonies and belittle them, you have thereby insulted the Holy Spirit. And I take this as a message from God. "I write thus fully because I have been shown." By whom? Well, who did she say, have show her these things? The Holy Spirit. And I will say this now, in my studies of the early pioneers and the history of the Adventist Church and Ellen G. White, I find that Ellen G. White did not have, as you all know, a formal education. I find that Ellen G. White did not go around looking for problems in the church to write testimonies to people about. It was her nature to always look on the good side and always give people the benefit of the doubt, and always be on the positive side, and she had difficulty writing these kind of testimonies. So much so that she had to be warned once that if she didn't write them just as they were given, and she lessened the effect or watered them down or their severity, that what would happen? The blood of souls would be on her garments and she would not be in heaven. When Sister White writes these things, friends, it is the Holy Spirit, not Sister White. She was not a genius that knew all the things that the brethren were doing and all that was going on in the church. They had to be revealed to her by God. So she says, I write thus fully because I was shown that ministers and people are tempted more and more to trust in finite man for wisdom and to make flesh their arm. To conferences and presidents and men in responsible positions. Now, who is she talking to? The world? She's talking to the leaders in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I bear this message. Break the bands and fetters that have been placed upon God's people. I'm afraid, friends, that most Seventh-day Adventists have been baptized and taken a church yoke on their necks instead of the yoke of Jesus. I did. And I fully believed, friends, for most of my life, that the yoke of the church and the yoke of Jesus were one and the same. And I believe that most Seventh-day Adventists and most church members, Reformed Adventists, whatever group you belong to, if you belong to any group, believe that the yoke that they have taken in joining that particular group is the yoke of Jesus. And when I first read this, it did not fit my thinking. It did not fit what I wanted to believe. In fact, the first time I read Testimonies to Ministers, it was one of the old professors that had worked with Ellen G. White, Dr. Wolfkill. He says, you are not going to get a grade. He didn't discuss the book. He just said it's required outside reading, and I read it through when I was about 19 or 18, I forget which now, and it was so foreign to anything that I had heard or anything that fitted into my frame of thinking that it did not register. And this is the book I had in college. I don't think I put the date in here, but this was bought about 40 years ago. And it's in better condition than the other books that I've had because Testimonies to Ministers, friends, and what it said just did not fit in my thinking. And so I left it on the shelf. There was a lot of in the spirit of prophecy when I first read it through that I read and forgot. I did not know what to do with it. It did not suit my thinking, my beliefs, or anything else. And what I'm going to say this evening, friends, will probably not suit your thinking or your beliefs. So she says, I bear this message. Break the bands and fetters that have been placed upon God's people. Every Seventh-day Adventist, according to this testimony, is wearing bands and fetters put on them by conference presidents and men in responsible positions. Amen. To you the word is spoken, and she quotes Isaiah 58, break every yoke. How many? Amen. Except Christ's. Because you cannot wear the yoke of Christ, friends, until you have broken from off your neck every other yoke. Whether it be the yoke of the church or the yoke of the AMA or labor unions or fraternal organizations or the Rotary or the Kiwanis, you name it. And all of these organizations put a yoke upon your neck. Yet we do not perceive this because our thinking is not tuned to it. And like I say, I worked for the church for 27 years as a minister. I grew up in the church. Before I went into the ministry, I worked at the Glendale Sanitarium. I never worked at the Glendale Adventist Hospital, friends. That came after I quit working there. When I worked there, it was a sanitarium, doing sanitarium work. Last year, summer I worked there, they converted it, started converting it into a hospital. Before then, it was not a hospital. And I worked in the academy, and I went through our schools, friends, and I did not know that I was wearing a yoke. I thought I was wearing the yoke of Jesus. I had my doubts at times, because the yoke of Jesus was always described as what? Light and easy. So, to you is spoken the word, break every yoke. Now, what yoke is she talking about? Well, she goes into it rather lightly here. Unless you cease the work of making men amenable to man. Have you ever been called to account by the church for what you did? Have they ever come to you and said, you can't do this or you do that? Unless you cease the work of making men amenable to man, unless you become humble in heart and yourselves learn the way of the Lord as little children, the Lord will divorce you from His work. We are to treat one another as brethren, as fellow laborers. In other words, fellow yoke fellows, as Paul calls it, wearing the yoke of Christ, not any other yoke. As men and women who are with us, seeking for light and understanding of the way of the Lord and who are jealous for His glory. God declares, I will be glorified in my people. And friends, there is going to be a group of people in this world who are going to throw off every other yoke and wear only the yoke of Christ and glorify God